I think if you were to walk down into the town and stop people in the street and ask them, what's your favorite passage in the Bible? What's the most famous passage from the Bible? I suspect it wouldn't be long until you got the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. We've sung it. We've read it. We've heard it sung. It just is part of us. And it's probably at the very heart of most of the scripture that we know. It's a beautiful picture of God. God is a shepherd. God who supplies absolutely everything that we need. God who protects us. God who guides us. God who looks after us. And this image of a shepherd would have been very, very familiar to folks in Jesus' time. They would have understood all he was talking about. It was a familiar image because they would have seen shepherds on their hillsides. They would have seen a shepherd lead his flock out. They would have watched as a shepherd carefully led them to pastures where they could be fed. They would have observed as the shepherd guarded his flock against danger. It was an image that they were familiar with because they saw it in everyday life. But it was also an image that they were familiar with in their heritage. Because so often, the Old Testament talks about God as a shepherd, leading his people, those sheep. And this relationship of shepherd and sheep plays out all the way through Scripture. It's a very familiar image, a shepherd and his sheep. And Jesus takes his image and he applies it to himself. Just a few moments ago, Graham read for us the beginning of John chapter 10. You may remember last week, Gordy led us through John chapter 9, where this tussle between the religious authorities and Jesus over what was right and what was wrong and who was right and who was wrong. Jesus takes this image to himself. And in contrast with the false shepherds with whom he has just tangled, Jesus is the true shepherd, the good shepherd. Again, the scene would have been familiar to those folks. A sheep pen built on a hillside, put together with dry stone walls, high enough to keep the sheep in, high enough to keep any animals out. And it would have one opening into it, one opening in the wall with probably no gate or no door on it. But the shepherd lay across that gateway. The shepherd guarded that doorway so that nobody came in or went out without the shepherd knowing about it. That's the scene. Again, these folks would have been very familiar with that sheep pen. There would have been maybe one flock, several flocks in this pen overnight to look after them, sheltered together. And in the morning, the shepherds would come and call their sheep. And their sheep would come out and follow after them, recognizing the shepherd's voice. And that's the picture that Jesus uses to speak about who he is and all he has done for us. Jesus speaks of himself in terms of this gate into a sheepfold. He speaks of himself in terms of this good shepherd and wants his hearers then and now to hear and to know who he is and what he has done for them. Turn with me, if you can, to John chapter 10. It's on page 1076 of the Pew Bible, John chapter 10. And we'll be picking up different thoughts through the next little while. What does it mean for you and for me if Jesus is our shepherd? Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. So what? What does it mean for us? Well, there are a couple of things. The first one is simply salvation. The sheep are saved from threats, dangers which threaten them. They're saved from being lost. And all those things point towards Jesus doing the same for us. Verse 14 simply says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus told that lovely parable in Luke 15 of a shepherd who had counted all of his sheep back into the sheepfold in the evening and counted them in 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And you can see him counting them again, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. There's one missing. What does he do? It's only one. No. He makes sure the 99 are okay, and he goes out and looks for the other one and rejoices when he finds that lost sheep. Jesus is the gate to this salvation. Verse 9, I am the gate. He is the one who, if you like, guards this sheepfold. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's his promise. Again, later on, John chapter 14, Jesus says exactly the same. He talks about going to prepare a place for his disciples. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way to get to where you are going? And Jesus simply looks at him and says, Thomas, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, the gateway of our salvation. It's the big blessing of having Jesus as your shepherd, knowing that salvation, knowing that safety, knowing that rescue, knowing that being found in your lostness. That's what Jesus reaches out to us with, salvation. And alongside that go security and safety. Verse 9 again simply says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And this coming and going is an idea of safety and security. One of the signs that the troubles that we lived through had begun to recede was simply that people talked about being able to come and go a bit more easily. There's something safe and secure about being able to come and to go, to find pasture, to find what we need. But the interesting thing is, in this picture, that security, that safety is given by being close to the shepherd. It's not about the walls of the sheep pen, it's the fact that the shepherd is there. That's what gives security, that's what gives safety. So Jesus rescues us from our lostness and from the danger in which we live, and secures us and gives us safety, never leaving us, never forsaking us. And says simply in verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Salvation, safety, security, all these things wrapped up give what Jesus calls his full life. And that's what he offers to us. We glimpse something of that full life as we read at the beginning of the Bible of life in the paradise of Eden. And then it's spoiled. And we move through to the very end of Scripture, and we see there in the visions of Revelation, once again, this life in all its fullness, this life that we were created to live. That's the life that Jesus has for us. Life in all its fullness. We don't need to just bump along at the bottom, existing. Jesus wants so much more for us, to live life and life in all its fullness. How do these blessings come about? Well, Jesus simply says, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, is the one who gives himself for the sheep. We look at verses 11, verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here's Jesus saying, this is how you know a true shepherd. He's the one who will lay down his life for his sheep. Not a hard hand who will be there until the going gets tough, but one who will even lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is speaking of Calvary. Jesus is speaking of the cross, where the good shepherd will also become the Lamb of God. This is a love that could not let us go. A love that would not release us. A love that reaches out to us. A love which led to death on a cross. And Jesus did lay down his life. He wasn't a victim of circumstances. It wasn't Herod. It wasn't Caiaphas. It wasn't Pilate who took away his life. Jesus simply says, I lay it down for my sheep. Not a victim of circumstances. I lay it down. Who receives these blessings? Salvation, safety, security, because Jesus has laid down his life for us. Verse 16, Jesus simply says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. Who experience the salvation, the safety, the security? Those who hear the voice of Jesus. Those who trust in his sacrifice on the cross. Those who receive that life in all of its fullness. These are the ones who experience his blessing. Those who hear. Those who trust. Those who receive. What about us? Hearing. Trusting. Receiving. Oh, we listen a lot. But do we hear? We trust in various things, but do we trust in the Good Shepherd whose voice we hear? Do we know his voice? As he reaches out to us with this gift of eternal life, with this blessing of salvation, security, and safety, do we receive it? Or do we let it go by? The end of this little passage of John's Gospel, John records that the Jews were divided, and not for the first time. Some of them said, this man is demon-possessed. He's raving mad. He's an absolute nutcase. Why would you listen to such a person? Why would you trust him? Why would you receive from him? But others thought differently. For not only will this Jesus lay down his life, this Jesus will also take up his life. Now, anyone can lay down their lives. But who can take their life up again? Only God. Either this man was, as some people thought, raving mad, or he was and is the eternal Son of God. And that division still exists. There are still people around who just see Jesus as some sort of religious nut. There are still people around who see Jesus as a good teacher. But a lot of what he said, it's worthwhile trying to put into practice. There are people around who see Jesus as a great role model. But he calls us to more than that. He's either mad or he is the eternal Son of God, the only way to the Father, the only one who offers life in all of its fullness. So you have to decide. You have to choose. There's no gray area to loiter in. There's no fence to sit upon, much as we love to sit on the fence. He's either raving mad or he is the Son of God whom he claims to be. There's nothing between them. Jesus doesn't give us other options. Everything depends on your response to Jesus. Everything. In this short life and for eternity, everything depends on how you respond to Jesus. And that's why this question is up on the screen. It's more than just, is Jesus the good shepherd? Is Jesus my shepherd? That's a different question. Have I experienced that salvation, that safety, that security that comes when I hear and trust and receive? And if you go back and read through Psalm 23, everything in Psalm 23 flows from that very first sentence, "The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore I shall not want," and on it goes. That's where it flows from. Being able to answer this question and simply say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I will experience the blessings he has for me. Because of that, I will be drawn into his one flock, be part of his flock, his family, his church. Because of that, we will be united in him. Is the Lord your shepherd? Who or what leads you, guides you, protects you, provides for you? Only Jesus. Only Jesus is the good shepherd. Let's take a moment, pray together. Lord, you are indeed the good shepherd. And we want to take that further. To be able to say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. And so we open our hearts to you. We pray that by your Spirit you would work in us, breaking down that hardness of our hearts, Lord, that we may be open to everything you would do in us and through us. Thank you for your love, which will not let us go. Lord, may we know your pursuing, relentless love for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.